Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life Weekly Service for Wednesday, October 5th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Good to be here.
And, of course, Michael Kelly producing the program behind the scenes and sometimes in front of the scenes. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, everyone.
I'd like to also welcome those who are joining us live, as well as also some of the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. As is customary, I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. We have 9 of them, and they are from our main website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. These principles of belief are: 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. If you'd like to read the full version of these principles of belief, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, a little bit in the news, we've got a hurricane heading toward Florida. It's wreaking havoc over the Bahamas right now, Hurricane Matthew. It's going to skirt the edge, the eastern edge of Florida. We're on the west coast of Florida, so it's probably not going to affect us a whole lot. But if you're living anywhere from North Miami all the way up the state of Florida and South Carolina, a little bit of Georgia there, and North Carolina, you want to, you know, be aware and take any measures to keep yourself safe. So I know we have some students in those necks of the woods, so be safe. And hopefully it'll just be another one of those things that passes pretty quickly and doesn't do too much damage. Most of them don't, but every now and then some of them do. So tonight we're going to be taking card reading requests, of course, from our Inner Oracle card deck. And if you're not familiar with that, it is our own card deck that's designed to stimulate thought, to get you thinking about different topics. Really, there are 54 cards and several suits, and they pretty much talk about everything that metaphysical humanism is about. It talks about everything we teach in our schools and get you thinking about important facets of life, life skills, and spiritual evolution and involvement. So if you would like a card read, be sure to put your name in the chat room, and we will make a list of those and get to those shortly. I want to just mention briefly, I want to address what's going on in American politics a little bit. Now, this what I'm about to say, I'm going to walk a fine line here. I'm not talking so much about politics. Politics is politics. Everybody has their candidates, their favorite candidate, and they have their reasons why they support said candidate. And I don't think it's any secret that when you're dealing with politicians, you're dealing with secrecy, you're dealing with some lies, you're dealing with covert stuff, and you wonder if you ever do know the truth on anything. That's just typical politics. The area of concern that I want to bring up is not so much about the politicians or the candidates themselves as really what is happening as a result of one of the candidates. The candidate I'm talking about is Trump. And I'm not telling you who to vote for or who not to vote for. That's not the purpose of my comments here. My comments are designed and intended to be reassuring and to hopefully restore some hope, because the thing that's bothered me about this particular election and about the things that Trump has said and stated in his attitude toward women, his attitude toward gays, his attitude toward immigrants, his attitude toward people in general, his basically narcissistic, sociopathic attitude, has awakened what I see as basically a negative side of people. It's basically giving those people permission to bring those negative, bad qualities out to the fore again. They've been in remission. You know, I thought we had taken care of a lot of these civil rights issues over the last few decades. I thought we were making improvement, and all it takes is somebody to come around and start spewing forth this crap that makes it okay to hate other people. And our foundational tenet of metaphysical humanism is do no harm, do right. Everybody on this planet has a right to be here, no more, no less than anyone else. Just because you were born with a certain skin color, you were born with a gender, you were born with a gender preference, does not have any bearing on whether you are valuable or not. Everybody is equally valuable. And I want to appeal to those who are like-minded, who are good people, who want evolution, positive evolution, who want positive growth in humanity, not just in, you know, in America, but in humanity, to not lose hope. That, look, we've overcome this in the past and we'll continue to overcome it. Yes, a lot of these negative traits of hate and bigotry are in people, in a certain generation of people, you know, honestly the older generation of people. We're coming out of it. It takes generations to weed these things out. But the good news is the younger generation is not having it. They're evolving. They're more accepting of people that are different. And that's good. And that's what we want. So don't lose hope. This election will be over here in a month. And hopefully we can move on with life and not have all this reality TV show stuff going on. It was such an important thing. But I don't want to lose hope. And I'm saying this as much for me, if not more so for me, than anyone else. Because I thought that dark side of human nature was starting to be weeded out, starting to leave and being replaced with positive stuff. And I think it is. And I think that the generation that harbors this bigotry and this prejudice against different races or women or genders, gender preference, you know, they're dying. They're growing old. They're dying, and just because they're older and they have these attitudes doesn't mean they can't change them. And anybody who is older, anybody who's an adult, has a moral responsibility to change positively. You know, anybody who hates other races, hates other peoples, hates women, or hates any group of people, has some serious soul searching to do. And I don't want to hear about your religion telling you what you should think. Stop looking to religion to tell you how to treat other people. Think for yourself. Do no harm, do right. Accept people, because we're all the same. I can't get my head around the fact that just because somebody was born with a certain skin color, somehow makes them less than normal, or less than equal. I can't wrap my brain around that somebody was born a certain gender, like female, that they're not equal. I just can't wrap my brain around it. It's like, what, you know, I guess it's their fault, right, for choosing to be born black. Why did you choose to be born black? Well, that's ridiculous. It's absurd. Nobody chose that. Nobody chose to be born white. Nobody chose anything. We just are what we are. We came into this world. We didn't ask to come into this world. Well, here we are, and we find ourselves in a certain situation, a certain set of circumstances. We find ourselves with a certain color, a certain gender preference. It just is what it is. But it's not a good reason to hate people. And so the important thing here is to not, let's not lose hope. Look, we have hundreds of students in over 60 countries on the planet. And I've never been more impressed with people. Frankly, my students have restored my faith in humanity because so many of them have lofty goals of assisting and helping other people. And it's genuine and sincere. And it's heartwarming to see that. They don't harbor this hate. And that's what we need more of. We need more of that, you know, to just keep spreading that message of tolerance, acceptance, let people be themselves, do no harm, do right. Now, I know there's some comments in the chat room. Dr. Hunter, I don't know if you're keeping up with them. Is there anything there I need to address?
Yeah, I am. You know, there's a few comments, and I know Michael even mentioned he's amazed that Donald Trump got this far, but it has ignited a certain element of society that's kind of been, I think, under wraps for a while, at least oppressed somewhat, and it seems to have given certain attitudes permission to suddenly surface. But I see this also as a spiritual war. And know who you are, know which side you stand on, and don't waver in what you know of as your truth. And that's pretty much all I got to say about it.
Well, you mentioned earlier off air that he's given them permission to be that way. And,
yeah.
And you're right. That's an excellent way to put it. And that's what I said, why I said that, because it's given people permission to bring out their dark side. That's wrong. That's not spiritual enlightenment. It's not personal growth. It's reverting. It's going backwards. And so if you happen to be one of those who hates other groups of people, stop it. You don't need to hate them. Look,
no.
We don't like terrorists. We don't like what they do. We don't like killers. We don't like their behavior. That's fine. We understand that. But hating a group of people just because they're belong to a particular ethnicity or group or class of people is inherently immoral.
I think the result is hate. I don't think that the intention is hate. I think the intention is privilege. And I think the intention is feeling safe in a particular belief system that happens to largely be a white privilege-driven kind of attitude. It's been going on throughout all of our history. We can go back thousands of years, hundreds of years. But particularly in the last 1,000 years, whether it was white Europe taking over Africa, you know, I mean, it goes on. There is an attitude of privilege. I really believe it doesn't start out as hate. It starts out as thinking others are lesser than. And when those lesser people seem to have a little more power, the privileged feel that they have to oppress them again. So it's this igniting of status, stature, you know, putting people in their place. And I think that that's what this attempt is to set up a new status kind of in our society and reignite something that we thought that we had overcome somewhat. Obviously we haven't.
We're getting there. You know, and that was the point of why I wanted to talk about this, because we've made a lot of progress over the last few decades, and it seems that some people have taken a step backwards with this election, and especially as incited by one of the candidates, namely Trump. I'm not getting into politics. What I'm getting into is the metaphysical nature of the result of what's going on. And that's what I'm trying to address here. So let's not lose hope. Let's just weather this little storm here it'll pass, and we'll move on, and we'll continue to make improvement as a species. That's what we're doing. We're moving forward. You know, yeah, we'll have little bumps in the road.
Well, Zach has said in the chat room that being psychic is almost as persecuted as religion or, you know, sexuality and so on. And it's only a matter of time before somebody brings it up and we have witch burnings again. But, yeah. You know, it's, and Zach was asking too, you know, about our experiences and how we feel and, you know, did we always know what we were? And it's like, did I always know I was psychic? It's kind of funny.
Well, I think that's a great question, you know, and at what moment did you decide you believed or not in psychic phenomena? You know, and Vicki, why don't you talk about your experience and I'll talk about mine.
Well, seriously, I thought everybody was. I mean, my experiences of otherworldly, you know, things, astral traveling in infancy, talking to spirits were my best friends. I thought everybody did, and it wasn't until I got a little bit older, I would say in early grade school, that I realized other people were not putting away their imaginary friends. And that's about the time when my mother even started telling me, you know, stop talking like that. It's not right. You know, grow up. You know, all those things that they say to you. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute. It was okay for me to have an imaginary friend last year, but it's not this year. And I started to look at the world, and I remember it very clearly. I started to look at people and the world in a whole new light, thinking, why do they suddenly look different? And I, honest to God, I looked at my parents one day, which was not a happy home anyway, but I looked at them all and I said, this is not the way the world is supposed to be. You people are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And, of course, that didn't fare well, I got to tell you. And then, of course, the attempt at, you know, more religious indoctrination. And by the time I was 16, my mother said, you're possessed. You're just like your great-grandmother. You know, my great-grandmother was a teacup reader and didn't fall for the religion. But I honestly believe, and see, it wasn't like I came into one day saying, oh, wow, I'm psychic. I have never seen myself that way, to be honest. I've always seen myself as I just refused to put away what everybody else did. That's all. And they can't have me. People can do a lot of things to me. I can experience a lot of things, but they can't have my soul. They cannot have my spirit. They cannot have my mind. So no matter what else happens, I know who I am. And I know that my experiences, even as a child, are as real as sitting here in this chair right now. So I had to learn, though, the distinctions between imagination versus an alternate reality, then the different types of alternate realities. And of course, as I've grown, and I am 61 years old this month, I might say, in my 61 years, I have changed my experience, like internal viewpoints have changed. And I know that I don't see it in this language, but people would term it as my psychic abilities have evolved and changed. I see it as my consciousness has opened that allows me to tap into different frequencies. That's my view. But I appreciate why people use certain language because one day they have a realization, oh, wow, that's a psychic ability. Well, I suggest to people it's always been there. So it's just a worldview, a self-view, a universal view. And that's just my experience. So there we go.
Cool. So I'll answer the same question. Yeah.
Different.
I'm not psychic in the traditional sense, as a lot of people think of psychics. I'm very intuitive, and especially regarding people. I can read people very well, and my spidey sense will flare up now and then about certain things and people, and I'm usually right. Not always right, but usually right. And so that's my gift, if you will. Now, some have argued with me saying that I can do more than that, and maybe they're right. But I did consider my belief in psychic phenomena and psychics early on as I began my paranormal investigations. And I had the privilege and have had the privilege of working with several who were quite good, who would come up with things that were in fact true and with no way of really knowing that. So, you know, I had to conclude that there was a little, something more at work here than just fakery. Now, there's a lot of psychics out there who say they're psychic and they're not. They're, you know, they're scammers. We all know that. That's nothing new. And so one of the things I've done over the years, especially when I had my paranormal research group, was if somebody said they were psychic, frankly, I'd test them. In what ways are you psychic? It's not everybody psychic in the same way. And so I would test them, and I would ask them questions. And it was... and I did the same thing with Dr. Hunter, too, when we first spoke initially. And that blew me away. I mean, and I've said this on shows past, but programs past. But, you know, what has this been? Been 5 years ago.
5 and a half.
Yeah. And how old are you? I'm 5 and a half. So it was funny because, and I'll give you some background, and I've said this experience before, but it's interesting. To me, anyway, it's interesting. Maybe it is to you, too. But years ago, we were, I had a friend, Gregory, who is a spiritualist and great guy, excellent guy, good friend, and he was over visiting me one day. We were sitting down on the patio, and it was a nice day, and basically we were going to work a little on psychic development with me. And so we'd done some things, and I asked him, I says, you know, is there anyone here? And, you know, for me, you know, spirit-wise. And he says, well, I see a monk standing behind you. And I about, you know, it was funny. Me, a monk, because I was talking about spirit guides and things like that at that time. This has been, gosh, probably 2009, somewhere in there. And so it's been 7 years ago anyway. And so he says there's this monk standing behind me. And I said, okay, because it struck me as funny because of all people, you know, I'm not religious, and a monk is my guide. It was kind of funny to me. And I says, well, are you getting a name? And he says, no, I'm not getting a name. He says, are you getting a name? And all of a sudden this name Stanley flashes in my mind. I don't know where it came. I don't really know anybody named Stanley, but this word name Stanley comes to my mind. I don't know where it came from. You know, who knows? Maybe it was just my mind. That's what I'm thinking at the time. I said, so I've got a monk named Stanley. It was hilarious. It was funny to me. And so we talked a little bit. And it was hard getting wrapping my brain around that. So, I don't know, sometime, some months later, we were on investigation. Another psychic named Lori, who was also very good, and she would get dialed in and just, she nailed it. And so we're on this investigation, and we're doing this, you know, for no other reason other than to help the client believe that the spirit was gone or going. There were several of us there, including the client and her husband, and we were in a circle. We were going to basically combine our energies and get this spirit out of there. That was back in probably 2009, too. And again, whether it works or not is immaterial. It's whether the client believes it works, which is important. So it could be both, but the client must believe it. So we were doing this. We were joining hands, and Lori started calling in past relatives, spirit guides for each person to come in and assist us with this. And so she's going around the circle. There must have been 6 or 8 of us in a circle there. And she's going around saying, you know, her mom and dad were part of the group too, and they were there. And so she's saying, you know, Dad, your mom's here for you, and so on and so on. And she went around, and I said, she got, I don't know, halfway or so around. I says, Lori, is there anybody here for me? She says, there is, but I'm not getting a name yet. And so she continues going around the circle and telling people who are there for them to help them with this thing. And at the end, I says, are you getting a name? She says, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like Stephen or Stanley or something like that. And again, I about fell over because she had no knowledge of this monk named Stanley that Gregory had brought up. And she nailed it. So, okay, well, there's a little more, there's something to this. Where is she getting this? Because I was actually thinking maybe my dad, you know, was there or something. But no, she said Stanley. So that's that. So fast forward now a couple of years and 5 years ago, and Dr. Hunter is, and I are talking on Skype. And again, I'm just getting to know her. I don't know her, and I don't know if she's real or not. And she's getting to know me. And so she was a student, so we're talking. And I asked her, I'm testing her. And I said, can you know, is there anybody near me? And again, I'm thinking, is my dad here? You know, I would like my dad to be here. And she says, I don't know, I see a monk standing behind you. And again, I about fell off my chair. And, you know, and so how do you account for that? You know, I was aware of Stanley the monk, but that was not who was on my mind. My dad was on my mind. So but she says, there's this monk standing behind you. And I says, are you getting a name? And she, it took her a while. I mean, we talked several times over, I don't know what it was, a week or two or three. And I kept asking, are you getting a name? Because I didn't want to give her the name. I didn't want to say Stanley. And so finally, after some time, she comes up with Thomas Francis. And I said, okay, well, that certainly wasn't the name Stanley. It wasn't the name I was looking for. But all right, Thomas Francis sound much more like a monk's name to me. But so that was that. And then it was another little cue. There was basically somebody who had created a student account at one of our schools.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the exact details, but it basically told me that the full name of this monk, who was allegedly my guide, sort of, was Thomas Francis Stanley. That was his name.
Actually, we had somebody make an inquiry, and their name was Thomas Francis, as I recall.
It connected it to Stanley.
Yes, it did, and then that came up.
Yeah, and so, you know, so, okay, so then I remember this vividly. So you came up with Thomas Francis, and after we were done talking, Tracy and I were on the patio talking, and I was telling her about all this, and she says, well, let's, you know, what do those names mean? Because Vicky was telling me that Thomas Francis says he's my twin, but not me, but not my twin, but he was like me, like a brother, but closer. And so we looked up Thomas Francis. What do the names mean? Well, Thomas means twin, and Francis means free. And I'm telling you, I get goosebumps because I'm thinking, well, that applies. So it's like he's a twin. And so he made appearances now and then. And then it was later that night. I'd been working on courses and stuff. And, I mean, I worked till 4 in the morning. And I finally went to bed about that time. And I'm the events of the day are just running through my mind. And I'm thinking, Tracy's asleep next to me. I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, I'm trying to wrap my brain around it. And there was another term that came to mind, metaphology, that same day that when Vicky and I were talking. And so I, in my mind, I'm saying, I just asked, you know, Thomas, was that you that put that term in my mind? Because it's not a word. And I'm just thinking about this. And I asked the question in my mind, not out loud, but in my mind. And just as I did it, I'm telling you, not a second later, Tracy kind of moves a little bit and, yeah. And she never talks in her sleep. And so, you know, at first I thought I was tickled, you know, Tracy's talking in her sleep. But then it dawned on me that that was the answer to the question that I had just mentally asked 1 second ago. And that was interesting. That was amazing. And so from that point forward, Thomas made his appearance now and then. Haven't heard, seen hide nor hair of him lately, but for probably the last 2 or 3 years. But you know, there's been times when I felt like he's here, not so much a spirit guide as, I don't know what he is, a twin, a partner, me in a different realm. I don't know who he is, but, and I know I've been rambling on about this, but this is where all these events like this made me believe that there is definitely something to psychic ability.
Well, it's not uncommon for spirits to take a hiatus. I've had that. I've had a couple of spirits that I've known for probably 40 years, and sometimes I can only see them once every 10 years, you know, and they drop in, or there'll be a series of events for a few months, and then they leave. And I say, okay, they're not around. Well, it means somebody else is around. I figure they have better things to do than just hang out with me all the time. But, you know, that's not uncommon. And, see, that's when we know that is a psychic experience versus, and I'd like to make a clarification for everybody. We all have the sixth sense. There's that third eye, the pineal gland. We all are energy readers. And people who've been raised in particularly difficult homes, particularly alcoholics or extremists, because it can be religion too, tend to have higher perceptivity to behavior and energy. They tend to have that. Now, it can ignite within anybody at any time, but we have a heightened sense of being able to read people. So if we think there's varying degrees of sensitivity, or, you know, when you're with somebody, you get a vibe, we can explain that just physically. There can be logical, sensible explanations for this, that we are heightened sensitives who, and a lot of people say that's an empath. Well, I think an empath at some level, to some degree, is simply somebody who can tune into energy. And when you're in the presence of other people, when it takes a different kind of twist is when there's no logical explanation. And again, there's varying degrees of this. How can I tune into somebody over a phone? Well, maybe that's through a voice print. You know, we can get a lot of things from a voice. I get a lot of things from numbers. When I get somebody's name, number, birth path, oh man, I see their cycles, I can tune right in. That's kind of into that psychic area where there's no logical, sensible explanation for what then I can see. And a lot of people have this. We all have varying degrees of what you experienced, Dr. Kelly, you know, was this laying in bed at night, you know, and Tracy looks at you and says, yeah, you were experiencing something otherworldly, and other ideas that would come into your head are otherworldly. They're not logical. They're not, like, what we say is that grounded kind of, oh, I can find an explanation for that. This is why it's so important for us to know our own mind. I know myself so well. I know what thoughts are my own, and I know what thoughts are not mine. And this is what's really critical. The more you know yourself, the more you will know what is something beyond yourself, and how you're having relationships beyond your own patterns of thinking. And I know I've lots of times said, wow, I came up with this great idea. No, somebody put it there. And it's in my thoughts, because I, unto myself, may not have had that type of thinking. So, I mean, I certainly can take credit for getting a new angle on a story or a new angle on a thought, but I really believe we're not alone in our consciousness. We're always interacting. Like, there's constant interactions with otherworldly places, whether it's the spirit world, the alien world, the alternate dimensions, pick one, you know. And after a while, when you know yourself really well and you get sensitive to energy, you can tell what frequency belongs to where. It has not always been my experience to talk to aliens, although I have. I know that frequency is entirely different than the spirit world. Alternate dimensions of space-time, where, let's say, meeting myself in other dimensions, that's a completely other different kind of energy frequency. So it's being able to know what my basic human frequency is, being self-contained, and I say this time and again to people, live from the inside out, not from the outside in. So this would be equal to what Dr. Kelly and Tracy say about self-esteem versus them-esteem. If you're always looking outside yourself for an approval or information or, you know, whatever else is out there to see who you are and what you're going to think about it, that's living outside your body. If I can look at somebody and see if they're living from the neck up. They're constant thinkers. We call them mental people. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's just their mentality is overactive. And then when they do get emotional, it's huge. Now, the integrating of the emotion, which is down in the solar plexus, you bring that up, you integrate that with your thinking, and there's balance. And then you can start to get inside yourself about who you are, how you feel, what you think, and getting to know your own psyche, your own consciousness, your own patterns of thinking, and debriefing yourself from previous beliefs that you say, I don't know where I came up with that idea. Oh, yes, my grandmother used to say that. Wow. You know, well, I don't think I like that one. You know, or something my mother had said or my father. And we start to debrief ourselves to find out who we really want to be. Because all those patterns are set up in very early childhood. But again, if just to recap this, your sensitivity, your intuition with other people is that can be explained naturally, logically, sensibly, until it reaches that point where there is no logic. So when you have no logic, then you start to open yourself up to other abilities, and everybody has their own, what you can say, a predisposition to illness, well, same the predisposition to extraordinary events. This is why we shouldn't compete, shouldn't compare. I mean, I look at a lot of people who are psychics, and I say, wow, I can't do that, you know. And then I say, well,
everybody's
I don't care.
Different.
Exactly. And so I just say, wow, that's awesome that they can do that. I know how much energy that takes, but mine just comes in spurts. I usually say in farts, but it's like, you know.
Yeah, we won't say that on the air.
No, we won't say that in the air. So it's everybody is very different, and everybody has their own insights, their own ability. And again, you're tapping into a universal consciousness that exists in many different multiple dimensions. And know yourself, and you start to figure out which dimensions or frequencies those are. I know Andrew just said Dr. Vicky could probably talk for months and not cover it all. It's true. I mean, because I love this topic, and a lot of my courses involved, you know, a lot of this information. But it's cool. To be really respectful of yourself first. You respect others, and vice versa, and then we're an evolving people.
And see, that's the one thing that I was impressed with Dr. Hunter, was her groundedness in it. And that's the one thing I've always looked for with psychics. You know, are you grounded? Are you down to earth? Are you realistic? Are you real life human being with these gifts and abilities you have? And that's always a plus. And that's why we teach that in our curriculum about you've got to be grounded. You know, there's a lot of psychics out there who will just, oh wow, they're so far out in orbit, you need a warp drive to get there. And
I don't mean to interrupt, but I got to tell you, the reason I wanted to know what I did, as I got older in my late teens, my early 20s and late 20s, I wanted to understand what this ability is that's so different from other people. Then I found out that it's not really different from other people, but what is it that we all have in common? Well, what we all have in common is we're born into a body. What can that body do? That body has an energy reader. Ah, now my light bulb started kicking in. Fast forward a great number of years, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Blink, and I recommend everybody to read that book. He articulates this so well. He's not necessarily an advocate of psychic abilities or intuition. But he does talk about the, you know, it's like what I call an autosensory perception. You know, he talks about what we all have in common in that basic intuition as human beings. So I really have to say, I started to figure out being grounded about it because I wanted to figure it out. That's all. I was obsessed with it. I wanted to know what it is.
And as far as the commonality among psychics, you know, my theory is relates to the psychic ability of the Akashic Record. And, you know, it's a theory. I don't know if it's real, but it seems to make sense in view of the facts or the evidence that we have for psychic ability, and that's the Akashic Record, which is basically a record of everything that has, is, or will happen. And it does not mean there's predestination. It just means that in that realm, there is no past, present, future. It's all the same. So whatever's been done is done, and it's almost like it's recorded it after the fact. And so the psychic ability, people with psychic ability have different ways of connecting with the Akashic Record. So you have...
Sorry, it's the universe of possibilities. I would like to quickly address Dr. Angie's comment in here that she can read animals but not people. And psychics tell her that she can read people. She says, I can't. And I can explain to you really simply why that is, Angie. Animals are black or white. It is or it is not. People have so many emotional variables. It's overwhelming, actually, to be honest. And it's when you tune into people, it's like you would get an overload. And an overload of possibilities. Tuning into animals, I think anybody who has children ought to have a dog first, you know, train a horse, do whatever, because it's when you understand the thinking of an animal that doesn't go, you know, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't, maybe, and they're thinkers, but they're different kind of thinkers. It's real, it's honest, it's cause and effect. It's, yes, I really believe animals have emotion, but it doesn't confuse, complicate, predict. It doesn't manipulate, strategize. It has a different kind of approach to it, you know, to existence and how we tune in. Dr. Angie, never mind about the people. You're doing what you do. I think that eventually, as when you understand that human beings are just overwhelming, I'm able to extract who they are. I'm able to extract and isolate certain things by behavior because I do have that sensibility. I combine my intuitive or, you know, basic perceptivity of behavior with my psychic ability. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to say, look, if you drive too fast, you're likely going to hit something because you can't turn a corner that fast. That's not being psychic. That's being sensible. So I combine all those abilities into my counseling work, into my reading work. It's not just a psychic ability is what thoughts come to mind, what's most relevant to somebody in the very short amount of time that I have with them. But I can do that. Animals, well, I have a connection with animals too, but I don't read animals the way Dr. Angie did, does. And she just said, I don't really want to read people, honestly. I don't blame you sometimes. Sometimes it's very difficult. Of course, she says, I'm very analytical. I just want to know as much as possible. I tried reading people just because everyone said it's the same. She said, no, it's not. And I agree with you, it's not. You know, something about, and I would just like to share this because I'm on a bit of a roll. When I was training, bless her heart, my late horse, New Moon, she was my greatest teacher, into a round pen. And, you know, the whole point is to get a horse to join up with you. She was just, you know, I mean, she was her own spirit, her own horse. She was everything. I learned more about myself through even the slightest twitch of body language. Whether I'd raise a hand, I'd put my foot out the wrong way. She wasn't responding to me in the way that I wanted her to. But it wasn't her fault. It was mine. And, you know, it took about three and a half years. I didn't want to break her spirit. And there's part of me saying, you know, I'm a little bit hesitant. I'm not really a horse trainer. I should get somebody. And they all said, you do it. Well, one day, and this is a great story, honestly, because, of course, when you always have to have an audience when the big events happen, don't you? But a number of us were out at the horse pen. I'm in there with my horse, and she starts pawing the ground, stomping, rearing up, and she's, like, acting up. you know, like 3-year-olds do. And of course, I'm trying to just run her around a little bit, and she's charging at me. Well, something clicked in my brain and said, act like a horse. So I threw my hands at her when she started charging me. I started pawing the ground. She'd paw, I'd paw. She'd rear up, I'd rear up. You know, I started acting like a horse to tell her, no, I'm alpha. You don't scare me. I'm the boss. This is the deal. Well, that horse never gave me one bit of resistance after that. I remember the first time I had a horse trainer actually with me, the first time I got on to ride her, and he said, you've ridden her before, right? And I said, no. You've not ridden her? I said, no. And he said, I wish every horse was like that to break. And it was because I'd done all the groundwork. But I learned more about myself through my time with that girl than I could with any human being. Because it's understanding yourself. So, Dr. Angie, when you're with animals, you understand yourself. And you would work in that, and this is not a negative, you work in the simplicity of that energy. You know animal language. And I commend you for that, because that's something I've had to learn. And people who naturally have it, wow, that's awesome. But I think everybody would benefit from interacting with animals, for having the respect with animals, and learning, you know, about yourself through that exchange.
That's all right. So let's, we're going to move on. We're going to get to our, in our Oracle card readings. But I do want to say that if you have questions about paranormal phenomena or about psychic phenomena, send them to me, admin@icmhchurch.org, or if you're a student, you can send them to me at the regular email addresses. Because on October 26th, which is 3 weeks, it's the program prior to Halloween, I thought we would do a program related to that kind of stuff, for whatever it's worth. And it's
interesting. The day after my birthday.
Yeah, so we'll be happy birthdaying you then. And so if you have questions about paranormal psychic phenomena, send them to me at admin@icmhchurch.org or any of the email addresses you use to contact me, and I'll keep a list and we'll address them. And we'll go over more of this on that week, in 3 weeks, on the 26th of October. So without any further ado, let's start with Dr. Sandra from South Africa. She's only can listen to the archives, so she wanted a card reading. So let's do that.
I have one here about relationships. So this is for you, Sandra, in South Africa, number 40. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They're not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship, regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another. So even if it's something that's not working for you anymore, just end it and move on. So, you know, and that's important when it comes to how you're relating, relationship the same. It's not just about people. So that's a little message for you, if that, hopefully that resonates with you at some level.
All right, Michael, who's next on our list?
I have Fran first.
I'm going to go ahead.
Absolutely. And I have number 3, be who you are, walk your own path. You are uniquely designed, one of a kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
Good points. Now we're going to, because of the time constraints, we're just going to have to read the comments and move on to the next one. Who's next on our list?
I believe next up would be Tabitha.
Okay,
go ahead.
All right. This is actually might be my favorite. It's number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
Good.
Good one. You know, Dr. Shirley is next, and I know we're pressed for time, so I'm going to move this forward. Paradox, Dr. Shirley, I picked one for you. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered. That's a good one. Must be something interesting going on in your life right now. So who is next? Michael, do you see?
I think I might have missed Dr. Angie in the chat, but oh, I see her right there. And I think she was looking for a card.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's see. Wild card number 7, hope. Quite appropriate. And hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
All right, so let's do one last one for Dr. Phyllis, and in case she's listening, or I know she's not in the chat anymore, but she might listen to the archive, or she might be listening outside of the chat. But I'm interested to see which one this is going to be.
I got energy signature.
Did you pull one, Michael?
No, I didn't.
Okay, let's go with
energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out, or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness, resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Very, very true, everybody. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what's healthy, remove what's unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature. That's true for all of us. It really, really is. I would like to offer that on the 26th, when we do our show on psychic phenomenon, I will be happy to pull my tarot cards for people and doing little readings. So I haven't done that for a very long time.
Wow.
And so let's make it a big show and go for it.
All right, so we're going to wrap this up. We talked about the political climate and some of the dark aspects of human nature that it's bringing out at the outset of this program. And it's interesting, these cards we pulled tonight all relate to that. Relationships. We need to do no harm, do right. Be who you are. Walk your own path. Don't allow somebody else's bigotry to awaken any inside you. Paying it forward, doing the right thing for people whenever you can. Paradox, going against what maybe people around you are thinking, as long as if it's in fact negative or dark. And then we talked about hope too. Have a hope for the evolution, continued evolution of the human race, which I think it'll go, continue to do that. It has to. It's inevitable. And then we talked about energy signatures, and we want to make sure that we establish our own core values and have our own energy signature that's positive and not dark. So hopefully you were inspired by tonight's program, and we appreciate the time you spent with us. Appreciate Dr. Hunter and her experience and wisdom, Michael, for being part of this, and again, for all of you listening, either to the live program or the archives, we appreciate it. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.